flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You ready for Josh McDaniels 3.0?
I guess I have to be. It was inevitable, was it not? We knew we were getting Josh McDaniels all along. What I'm shocked about, Jones, is just how closely the OC quote-unquote search mirrored the head coach search.
You called this yesterday late in the show. You called it in real time.
As it's happening, you're like, all right, you have a chance to do a full interview process for both jobs. Two very significant, important roles in your franchise. You can really open this thing up. You didn't do it last year with the head coach. You ended up talking to 13 guys to the offensive coordinator and got probably your 13th choice. This time you're like, hey, you got Drake May. Maybe there'll be more interest in it. Let's see how it goes. Head coach search. Two minority candidates. They share a graphic on Twitter. You have national guys being like, they can now hire their coach. They have satisfied all the different rules. Then they do a Ben Johnson sham Zoom interview, and then they hire Mike Vrabel. So you're like, okay, they wanted Vrabel all along. They dressed it up this way. Offensive coordinator rolls around. Two minority candidates. I don't even know if they tweeted out an image this time.
I don't think they didn't do the split image in their defense, but I don't think they tweeted out any images of Marcus Brady and Thomas Brown. No.
And then they get some young gun to do an interview from from Minnesota to make it look like, hey, maybe we are interested in other guys. And then it's interview Josh McDaniels, hire Josh McDaniels. It was the exact same process. But people have been, I think most fans are happy with this. Even as the season was rolling on, I feel like week 8, week 9, you look to the text line, you look to Twitter, and people are like, just bring in Vrabel and McDaniels.
Bring back Josh.
Bring back all the same guys.
Bring in Vrabel. Yeah.
Bring back all the same guys. And McDaniels, to me, is less creative than even Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel played here, but Mike Vrabel was a coach in many places. He coached in college, coached in two different NFL teams.
Less creative of a hire, not as a coach. Creative of a hire. I agree with that.
Hooking ladders or anything. I'm talking about just the guy himself. Like, he never coached on this staff. So, yeah, there's a tie to Bill Belichick, clearly, but not the same way that there is with McDaniels. Mike Vrabel's success in the NFL as a coach is not tied to Belichick or Brady. All of McDaniel's success in the NFL is tied directly to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And those guys are gone, and yet there's still the, let's bring the band back together. The band was Brady and Belichick. Maybe mostly Brady, but I'll throw Belichick. I'll give Belichick more credit than you will.
Brady was...
that was the band.
Brady was the lead singer, the vocalist, the star.
Yeah.
Belichick was like the bass player.
This is like...
That was the band. Yeah.
It's like, all due respect, it's like, let's have Korn come back. No Jonathan Davis. It's the rest of Korn. You're like, it's Fieldy. It's Head. It's like, no. We need Jonathan Davis. It's not the same without the vocals and the bagpipes.
I think I get most of the references in there. Yeah.
Well, they also got rid of their drummer Dave, who was a sick drummer in the early albums. He's not in the most recent albums.
Is he a part of Korn for that?
Yeah, that's track one debut album.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the real. That's my Korn. That's our Korn.
That's your father's Korn.
That's your dad's Korn.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we've talked about McDaniels for a while prior to him actually being officially hired by the team. I look at it where I think he could have done better. I think he also could have done worse. Like, I don't think he's... I'm not going to lose my mind like my man Chris Scheim this morning.
Okay,
I don't think it's as bad as
that. Look, I was cheering Scheim on my radio listening today. Go Scheim, go. I mean, I was into it.
He's laid it on thick, which I appreciate a nice, strong take.
Me
but
too.
I'm not going that... I don't feel that way.
I don't hate it as much as Scheim either, but I'm closer to Scheim than I think the rest of Greg's show was this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys can get into it. You're already lining up on Josh McDaniels, 617-779-7937. I think people feel like this was a more important hire in some ways than even personnel, with Elliott Wolf hanging on, at least for the time being, Vrabel bringing his guy aboard. I think a lot of people were looking to this hire because of Drake May and have strong feelings about it. So we want to hear from you all day long. 617-779-7937. Phone number and text line on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can get at us there. You can also watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Never know what you're going to see there. Really always a real question mark. And you can chat along. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. There are positives to Josh McDaniels. And so I'll start with those because it's not my favorite hire, but I'll give you what I do like about it to start. I mean, number one, he does have a successful track record in the NFL as an OC. And he's done it over a long period of time. Now, most of it was with Brady. Almost all of it was with Brady. But there is a track record there. So start with that. I am a
fan of
that.
That's a nice thing you just said.
And he is a professional coach. Now, he's burned a lot of bridges. He's not well-liked in Denver or Indianapolis or Vegas.
Yeah, he's not allowed in any of those places.
But he has been a professional coach who's done it before, understands the challenges of the job, does understand the development of some young quarterbacks. I mean, he does get some credit for Jimmy Garoppolo. I never loved Jimmy G, and I wouldn't overstate what he did with Garoppolo here in six quarters before Garoppolo tapped out. But Garoppolo was a quarterback who got to a Super Bowl in San Francisco. He's a part of that development. I never really liked Jacoby Brissett. He's had a long career. He gets some credit for the development with Jacoby Brissett. Castle went on to be a Pro Bowler in Kansas City. So wow. I'll give him some of that. You don't give him any credit for Castle?
I give him credit for Castle. Yeah, I mean, that's how he got his first job.
You're questioning the Pro Bowl?
No, the Pro Bowl thing is like, all right,
that's fine.
But he was a competent quarterback. He was better than most of us thought that he was going to be. That's fair.
I'm just trying to prop up his development of some of these young quarterbacks. That's all. And he's a guy who's done it. This is not Alex Van Pelt, hasn't called plays in a decade. He's been an offensive coordinator in name only, but hasn't really done the job. The whole staff last year hadn't done the job. And I'll say, between Vrabel and McDaniels, the one thing I like is that these are guys who have done it. They're guys who should not be surprised by anything. Maybe they're not the best at it, but they've done it before. They understand the challenges of the job. And, you know, when it comes to these two, I do think they were consistent in the hire. What I didn't want to see is talk about Vrabel's experience. We need an adult in the room. Vrabel's experienced. And then bring in some 28-year-old kid in Udinski. That is inconsistent. This is consistent. This is hiring another guy who's done it and a veteran. So those are the things I like. Is there anything you like about it before we get into our nitpicks and our gripes?
Oh, yeah. No, he is, for I think it's 18 seasons, he was a play caller. That alone is pretty remarkable. I think all the people they've interviewed, if you add them together and throw in Alex Van Pelt, they didn't call 18 seasons of plays.
No.
So I like that. Like, that's not going to be, I got to get adjusted to calling plays. And obviously had a ton of success with Tom Brady. Now, the one knock, I guess, there would be it's Tom Brady and Charlie Weiss, Bill O'Brien, Bruce Arians, like everybody, Byron Leftwich. They all had success with Brady. Brady is coordinator proof. But I'm not going to just like throw that out because that's such a long part of his career. Same with like Belichick, right? Everyone's like, oh, well, Belichick had Brady. He's like, all right, he had him for 20 years, though. And like, they were pretty, like, I got to give the guy some credit for it. So I do give McDaniels some credit for that. I think when talking about this team right now and the development of Drake May, it's probably a more worthwhile exercise to look at the non-Brady years and see what happened with those guys.
I absolutely agree with
that. I think you have to do that. No, so this is where I differ with you. I think you could have taken a really young offensive coordinator and that guy would have had a chance to succeed because you have an established NFL head coach. You don't want both. You don't want Mayo and this Grant Udinski, or you don't want DeMarcus Covington and Mayo as proven out last year. But if you have Vrabel, I think that opens the door to young guns. Whereas if you had the young gun, like if you had Ben Johnson, then I think you have to go the Dennis Allen, Eberflus route.
I think you absolutely could have. Yeah, just think it would have been inconsistent to talk up experience, and then turn around and hire a 28-year-old. That would have been inconsistent.
But if you have, I just don't think you can have all young guns. That's my point. I'm in favor of the young offensive mind, whether it's a head coach or a coordinator, as long as they're leaning on other guys in there that have that experience, that have, like, Mike Vrabel has stood in front of an entire locker room for 6 years as a head coach and knows how to handle that. you know, there's also the whole dynamic of how are these two guys going to work together? Was it Vrabel's hire? Like, all of this stuff kind of is pretty interesting to me.
So we'll get into the positives and the negatives, pros and cons, for what's gone on with Josh McDaniels today. Those are some of the things we like.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a top hire for either of us. I don't think either of us are the biggest fans of it. So we got that out of the way. Let's get to the good stuff. What do you have questions about when it comes to Josh McDaniels? What don't you like about the hire?
Just what, you know, are they going to run the old Patriots kind of offense? Are they going to do that with Drake May? And we've seen it. If you remove the Brady years, it's not a great track record. I think the Rams year, which gets lost in the shuffle because the two times he was a head coach, that really blew up in his face. And that was not a role that he was comfortable with. And he's not alone. He's on a long list of guys that are better off as coordinators. And that's fine. That's still a good job, and you can be good at that. But running a whole operation, not your thing. But so he took the 3 years as a play caller with the Patriots in 06, 07, and 08, parlayed that into the Broncos job, which was a disaster. And then he went to the Rams. And it's a pretty interesting comparison to this team.
He just for the record, for people who forget, because people are texting right now, oh, McDaniels went to the playoffs with Tebow. Wrong.
No, he did not.
He did not make it through a second year in Denver or in Vegas.
He got fired in season twice.
He didn't make it to day one with the Colts.
Yeah.
He did not make it through year two with Denver or Vegas.
So, he did draft Tim Tebow in the first round, but he didn't get to the playoffs.
Correct.
With him.
No. They made the playoffs the year after he left with Tim Tebow because they tend to get better when he leaves places.
I think both places he was at were better before and after.
Correct.
Yeah. Like that's, but also, you know, we're not here to argue him as a head coach. He's not a head coach. They didn't hire him to be the head coach. If they hired him to be the head coach, we could all lose our minds. They didn't do that.
But there's something to how he fared without Brady, and
yes,
a lot of that is his head coaching career.
But so, again, this is a long time ago, but I think it is somewhat apples to apples. So he joins in 2011 the St. Louis Rams, and he's the offensive coordinator. So, all right, you don't have that responsibility of being the head coach, but we need you to take a young quarterback and get the most out of him. He steps in there. It's year two of Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was the rookie of the year. I know most people are driving. They're like, Sam Bradford sucks. Sam Bradford's the number one pick in the draft, rookie of the year.
Let me just give you his numbers, because I have him in front of me. They won 7 games with Sam Bradford as a rookie. He only completed 60% of his passes,
yep.
3,500 yards, 18 touchdowns, 15 picks. Like, that was a promising
young
quarterback.
Not amazing, but it was like a start.
And McDaniels comes in year two, and what happened?
Sunk him like the Titanic.
6 touchdowns, 6 picks. 54% completion percentage, 2,100 yards in 10 games. They were 1-9.
And then they were the 32nd defense or offense out of 32 teams
in scoring.
Also last.
Yeah.
And then he gets fired from there, comes back to the Patriots, and then goes on a great run, obviously, with Tom Brady. And then Sam Bradford actually got better in year three.
Bradford in year three, they went back to winning 7 games after winning 1.
Mm-hmm.
3,700 yards, 21 touchdowns, 13 picks. So McDaniels stunted his growth. Yeah.
And then so you're like, all right, that's obviously to me a negative. Then he has a long run with the Patriots where when Brady's there, the offense is in the top 7 every single year, usually even better than that. And then he is there for the Cam Newton year. Not a great personnel, but they had one of the worst offenses in the league. And then where he does get credit is making Mac Jones look like a semi-decent quarterback. Like, we saw Mac Jones after Josh McDaniels, and it was a disaster, and it was, like, clinging to even having a job in the NFL, and they found ways to score points. I don't think we ever looked at it as an amazing offense, but they ended the year 6th in scoring. So I know a lot of it is they scored 50 against the Jets and 54 against the Jaguars, but or whatever, maybe flipped. Still counts. Like, they had the 6th best offense.
It counts. I would highlight, because I was looking at some of these numbers today, too. They were 6th in scoring that year. And you just pointed out some of the big games. They were middle of the pack in yards. I think they were 15th
in
yards.
So that makes sense. Like, they weren't, like, an amazing offense. But you look at the personnel. Like, I don't know who would have done a whole lot better.
It wasn't great.
So, like, that's a little bit back on the upswing. But I don't know. Like, it's certainly not a foolproof guy. I think one of the other positives to McDaniels, he's not going anywhere. If you hired the young kid from Minnesota, you say he kicks ass for 2 years, probably going to get a head coaching gig somewhere.
Yeah, I guess that's something, and it's somewhere on the list. It's nowhere really on my list. Maybe it's the last spot. I just go right back to the McVay coaching, or the O'Connell. I just go right back. The Rams constantly are churning out these guys who get offensive coordinator jobs. I just go get the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm less fearful of that, but that's a check mark for him, in fairness. The Mac year is a check mark for him. They really dropped off towards the end of the year, but overall check mark for him. I feel like I hear about the Mac year far too often, and I don't hear about the Cam year enough.
I just also don't love the idea, and that's fair. I just don't love the idea of like not being willing to get a little bit outside your comfort zone.
I don't like that
either. That's kind of how you got into this mess. So you replaced Belichick originally with Mayo because you're like, oh, no Mayo. Like Mayo was here. Mayo's only been here. This is going to be a good hire. That was a disaster. You replaced him with Vrabel, which there's more nuance to. You know, I don't even consider him in the Bill tree, but whatever. Like there's clearly a tie and a direct relationship between he and Kraft. And then it's like, all right, offensive coordinator. Like a couple years ago, what'd they do? They brought back Bill O'Brien. Then this year they bring back Josh McDaniels for the third time. It's like, really? There's not nobody else capable of calling plays for your team?
Well, I'll tell you.
The guys that have already done it?
You bring up O'Brien's name. People were similarly excited for O'Brien. I think they're more excited for McDaniels, but people were very fired up about the O'Brien hire.
Yeah, it went really well.
And that went extremely poorly. Like some of us tried to warn you about at the time.
Yeah.
So I don't hear enough about the Cam year. And there were two elements to that. Oh, Cam was washed. Yeah, they brought in Cam because he didn't develop Jarrett Stidham. And that's on him. You're supposed to develop the young quarterback. So I think there's a bunch of red flags with Josh McDaniels. I don't think anybody else would hire him. I keep coming back to that. I don't know who would give him a job. I haven't heard about any interviews. He was out of football last year. No interviews, no interest. By the end of the year, he was out of football. Like, if no one's interested in him, why do you need to hire him? It's so unimaginative. It's like, you walked out your front door, you looked around real quick, you're like, I know you.
Who was here before?
Bring him back. So it's so unimaginative. But I also wonder who actually was in charge of it. Who hired Josh McDaniels? Was it Mike Vrabel or was it the Kraft?
It feels more like a Kraft hire. Yeah. Is this the fifth coordinator in 5 years or not technically because he was the first in this run? How does that work? I guess it's sort of like Trump going back in office. Like he's the president now.
I would call it the fifth in 5 years, but you're right. One guy got two stints at it.
McDaniels, Patricia, Bill O'Brien, Alex Van Pelt, Josh McDaniels.
That's five.
So it's like a
five different coordinator seasons.
It's an OC sandwich with McDaniels as the bread.
Correct.
Okay.
So you can jump in on it. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Who do you think hired Josh McDaniels is an important question. 617-779-7937. We'll get into that. And let's really look back at McDaniels' career as a head coach, as a coordinator, all the various stops. And what does it tell us about Drake May and his future as the quarterback of the New England Patriots? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How wouldn't Drake May be excited about Josh McDaniels? I don't know. Sam Bradford? Maybe that's one way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keith, you illustrated that last week. Yeah, the Broncos.
The Broncos run. Cam Newton.
Ditching the Colts at the 23rd hour. Cam Newton, yeah. Jarrett Stidham.
Drake May's going to say all the right things, though. I mean, he loved Alex Van Pelt. Every time anybody asked him about Alex Van Pelt, all season long, he loved AVP. Sure. So I think he'll like McDaniels. It's just a matter of, you know, how different are the offenses going to be? Is that something that is going to suit Drake May? All that.
Greg said something about highlighting the mobility of Drake May that I found interesting. Mm-hmm. We can circle back to that. But there was some news while we went to break.
All right.
Liam Cohen is going to stay with the Bucs. He was their offensive coordinator.
So not taking the Jaguars job.
He turned down the Jaguars job. He, I think, was the favorite to get that job. And the only reason I bring up Liam Cohen, I would also bring up Ben Johnson from a year ago, is I think those guys are shining examples of one thing you hear constantly about Josh McDaniels. This would be the counter to that. Well, hire McDaniels, you know he's not going to go anywhere. You don't want to have to start over again. Hire a new OC for Drake May, which, again, I don't care about. I just keep going to the McVay tree and keep going to the McVay tree and then go back there again. I'm not worried about that, but some people are. Well, it turns out with Liam Cohen, he's staying. And he was a highly sought-after offensive coordinator for a head coaching job. Ben Johnson stayed a year ago. Highly sought after offensive coordinator. So not only have we seen some stay, and you're right, he eventually left, but you kept him for an extra year.
You did.
Not only have we seen those guys stay, there is a way to keep them. You pay.
Do you think that's going to happen? Although, actually, the Patriots did that with McDaniels.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, and you're right. They have done that with McDaniels before.
McDaniels was on his way out to the Colts few years ago, and they were able to keep him. And the reports at the time were he was the highest paid coordinator.
Do I think it's going to happen? No. No, I don't.
Unlikely, yeah.
But that is an indictment on the crap. If you hear over and over again, well, you don't just want to lose the guy and lose him a year later.
I believe a Belichick thing. That was sort of got reported that Belichick didn't love the idea of the revolving door coaches. He likes sort of like an established staff going forward.
Yeah.
So maybe it's less of a Kraft consideration than it was Belichick.
Maybe, but they brought in Van Pelt last year. And I don't know that was by choice. That was like
one and done anyway.
Option number 15.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's the better approach? Bringing in guys you know aren't going anywhere?
The best guy. Bring in the best guy.
McDaniels, Patricia, O'Brien, Van Pelt. I heard that logic with all those guys, too. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to leave. They're going to stay here. Or would you rather hire a guy who's actually good at the job with a creative scheme, who maybe is career conscious and looking to take that next step as a head coach? Why on earth is that a bad thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just because it's been such a hot potato position to this point, and that's one way to ruin a young quarterback is how many head coaches, how many coordinators did they play for in early in their careers? Like two guys, and they went kind of different ways with it, but Baker Mayfield, bunch of head coaches, bunch of offensive coordinators, needed to like bounce around teams to sort of rejuvenate his career because he was really good as a rookie. And then they were like, all right, now it's Freddie Kitchens, and now it's this guy, and now it's that guy. Now we're going to upgrade. Ryan Tannehill was another one, awful in Miami, but it was different coaches, different coordinators, different everything. And then it ended up being decent enough, and then now kind of fizzled and out of it. So I think that's just one thing that you have to be concerned with the rookie quarterback.
I'm just telling you, you hired a safe guy last year in Alex Van Pelt, and now you need to hire another guy. So you really can't control that.
No. So I disagree.
You can't hire who's leaving and who you're going to have to fire. You can't really control it, so don't worry about it.
No, but Van Pelt was only safe in the sense that you didn't think he was going to get another job like that. He wasn't like safe in he's going to be really good at this.
Well, correct. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think the thought is McDaniels will be a lot better at this than Van Pelt was.
Well, let's see.
There's no guarantee, but I think Vrabel and Kraft and even Patriots fans are like, all right, here's a guy that's called plays 18 years versus a guy who's called plays once.
I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people said the same thing about O'Brien. O'Brien won't be worse than Patricia.
I agree.
You have a real play caller here. He won't be worse than Patricia. He was.
He was worse.
The offense was worse. So I have heard this logic before, and I think McDaniels is better than O'Brien. But
same.
Like, I've heard this, and you were all wrong about it out there. So I don't think McDaniels is anything near a slam dunk. There are check marks, there are pluses, but I don't think he's anywhere near a slam dunk. And Keith, you did a deep dive on his history.
The Rich Keefe stats and info stayed up pretty late last night,
Jones.
Let's
hear some numbers from the Rich Keefe stats and info department. Late night, hamster wheel turning. Let's hear the numbers.
So these are all the years that Josh McDaniels was a play caller. I will give you the year, the team, the quarterback, and where they ranked in points.
Okay.
2006, Patriots, 7th with Tom Brady. 2007, Patriots, one of the greatest offenses of all time, 1st with Tom Brady. 2008 with the Patriots, 8th with Matt Cassel. Then 2009 with the Broncos, 20th with Kyle Orton. 2010, also with the Broncos, 19th with Kyle Orton, although he was fired after 12 games. 2011 with the Rams, dead last 32nd with Sam Bradford.
Nice.
Comes back to the Patriots. This stretch all with Tom Brady until I tell you otherwise. 2012, 1st. 2013, 3rd. 2014, 4th. 2015, 3rd. 16, 3rd. 17, 2nd. 18, 4th. 2019, his last year with Brady, 7th.
Okay, so he was top five all those years when he returned to New England until his final year with Brady. Yep.
2020 with Cam Newton, 27th.
Huh.
2021 with Mac Jones, 6th.
15th in yards, 6th in scoring. Yep.
Okay, 6th. 2022 with the Raiders and Derek Carr, they were 12th. And then in 2023 with Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, and somebody else, they were 23rd.
I think it was Stidham.
And Stidham also fired in season, which is pretty remarkable. But again, he's not hired as a head coach.
Okay.
He's the offensive coordinator. I would say more wins than losses, honestly.
Yeah,
more wins than losses.
I would agree. When you line it up, even subtracting the Brady years, which is probably not fair to
I'll give him some credit for that. I mean, Brady did it with everybody, so it is one of those things. But, like, they were really high-end. And, his second year calling plays, this is going back forever ago, his second year calling plays, he's given Randy Moss, he's given Wes Welker, and like they had the best offense in the history of football. So yeah, you have Tom Brady, you have all these guys, but he got the most out of that team till the end.
Well, I mean, that offense, I'd be curious to look at I'd have to go back and look.
They had the lead in the Super Bowl.
The offense tailed off a lot in the second half of that year, though.
Yeah, it did. I think, teams kind of got on. They started playing close games a little bit.
And I would say about the Castle year, which you hear a lot about, yeah, they were, a top 10 offense that year with Matt Castle. They also went from, as Keith just said, the best in the history of the sport at the time to barely in the top 10. So that there was a drop-off is all I would highlight. And that was still a super talented team.
The other thing I would say, too, before we get some of these calls, Tom Brady, far and away, the best quarterback he's ever been with. Would Drake May already be the second best quarterback? Because he got a washed Cam Newton. He didn't get MVP Cam Newton.
I mean, right.
Kyle Orton.
Cam based on career,
Sam
sure,
Bradford. Garoppolo. So I think he's already got the second best quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the expectations should be pretty high.
The one thing that jumps out to me going through all those QBs is when Bedard says, well, he knows how to maximize a mobile quarterback. When Josh has been the head coach and had a real say in it, and there's rumors that he wanted Lamar in Lamar's draft year, which is very convenient, but you look at who he actually had. He drafted Tebow, but his quarterback was Orton. In Vegas, it was, as you said, Carr and Garoppolo and even Jarrett Stidham. When the guy was in charge and could actually make calls, he didn't exactly have the mobile quarterback out there.
Cam Newton did rush for 12 touchdowns.
That's true.
And that was pretty much their offense. Cam, they didn't have much else, but
Cam
they did.
Cam had a good running year.
Most of them were in that Seattle game, but
they were all against Seattle, and they were all from the 1 yard line. But whatever, Jalen Hurts gets credit for those tush pushes, so it counts.
That was a fun game.
Counts.
Cam Newton week two against Seattle was a fun game.
Julian Edelman had a career high in receiving yards.
N'Keal
that game?
Harry had a career high in.
It was a bizarre.
That
game.
Makes sense. Edelman, it was a career high.
I don't think Edelman had ever had as many receiving yards in a game, even with Brady, as he did with Cam Newton. It's one of the more bizarre stats.
What a fun game! And it came crashing down
a little bit.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Barry's in New Bedford. Hello, Barry.
Hey guys, this is the equivalent of when the Bulls hired Stan Albeck to coach Michael Jordan his rookie year. I mean, this is a complete joke. You mentioned the history. He was the head coach and play caller in Denver, got fired. He was the head coach and play caller in Vegas, got fired. His offenses, and this was explained to me by a former Patriot receiver of how this offense operates. He says in most like offenses like McVay and Shanny, the receiver runs a route that's called in the play. With McDaniels, you have to read the coverage to run a route. He creates so much overthinking in his offense. That's why he basically ruined Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was an athletic throwing quarterback out of Oklahoma. Look what happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield should be thankful that Oklahoma's not leaving.
Do you think that's a bad thing, Keith, that McDaniels asked receivers to read cover? Like, there's
like
more,
option routes and
there's
stuff?
There's more thinking to it, but I don't think that's a bad thing either. That means you have answers. I think that's a plus for McDaniels.
There was always some talk about the offense was too complicated for a lot of receivers. And one of the reasons why they drafted a lot of receiver busts was those guys couldn't figure it out. And one of the reasons why, now this also backfired on them, when Matt Patricia, they were going to bring in like a different offense. You just had the wrong guy teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
But part was they wanted to make it easier for guys to join the team, whether it was free agents or rookies, and figure it out. Because if you look at the history of the team, is there a handful of guys that really got it? You know, like Troy Brown, Deion Branch, Edelman, Welker, Moss. Like those, everybody else didn't really, or, Gronk. But for wide receivers, they did try to like simplify it. So I don't know if McDaniels is going to say, hey, I'm running the exact same stuff I always ran. He might change.
Wasn't the issue there that Brady was just on a different level than everybody else?
That's also true.
It wasn't just purely the offense and what McDaniels demanded. It's that Brady was just on such a higher plane than everybody else because he had done it for
so
long.
If a guy runs the wrong option route, I think Brady's going to give
you're
up
in
on
the,
him.
You're in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Fair text here, 617-779-7937. Jones, you love to preach consistency. You're now talking about McDaniels ruining Bradford. That was Keith. What happened to if he can play, he can play? Fair point. Bradford, I don't really think could play. I just think
Bradford's a weird. He had good years and bad. He
I
got
just
hurt
think
a lot.
McDaniels made him. He was worse than McDaniels. I just think that's what it is. Bradford was fine-ish. He wasn't great. He never lived up to his expectations.
True.
And his worst year was with McDaniels. That's just highlighting. That McDaniels made him worse while he was there. That's all.
No, that's it. Well, you just can't say he got the most out of him.
No, definitely.
Right? Because
not.
Like, so even if his ceiling is much lower than Drake May's, if you want to play it that way, he didn't get anywhere near that under Josh McDaniels.
No. So we can get to, well, the rest of the coaching staff. We have a name on the defensive side of the ball. I am curious how they're going to play defense under Mike Vrabel. Terrell Williams, which I think we both forecasted yesterday,
mm-hmm.
is the most likely hire. He is now officially the defensive coordinator, at least reportedly, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. So that shoe has dropped. What else is on the horizon for the Patriots this offseason? We'll get to it with all your phone calls coming up next.
That was Josh McDaniels on Games with Names. Is that what it's called?
I believe
the Julian Edelman podcast?
Yeah, Edelman podcast.
I thought it was an interesting little answer. It's like, okay, I don't think it's groundbreaking or anything, earth-shattering, but yeah, you give the quarterbacks what they can handle. You put that on their plate. When they can do it, you give them a little more and a little more, and by the end, you know there's a lot that they can deal with, and I think that is a positive for McDaniels. McDaniels understands the development of these young quarterbacks. Now, what did he really develop Mac into? What did he got a good year out of Mac. Did he develop him? What did he develop Matt Castle and Jacoby Brissett? Like, what did they eventually become? Even Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
They were good-ish quarterbacks. Maybe that's even too strong for Brissett. But what has he really developed? So I'd question that part of it. But the idea of spoon-feeding a quarterback and knowing what you can put on their plate, I do think that's a positive for McDaniels with Drake May. I don't think he's going to overwhelm him or ask him to do too much. And maybe Van Pelt did to a degree.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, I just think his experience overall is going to be such a valuable thing for Drake May. And I have such high hopes for Drake May that maybe even just having a professional, experienced play caller, even if it's not the most creative, the most innovative offenses of all time, like, it's such a good baseline for Drake May to have that and have somebody that he can kind of rely on, be comfortable with, and then he ends up being a great quarterback with someone like this compared to a guy that, by all accounts, Alex Van Pelt, really like a souped-up QB's coach. Right?
Yeah.
Like not,
yeah.
He's not really an offensive coordinator, whereas McDaniels is that. So, you know, I still think this can be a positive. You know, over the last 4 years, I think just at this time, going into each year, like we couldn't believe that it was Patricia. We could not believe it.
Then, well, remember, and they knew it was such a weird move, they wouldn't even tell us who it was for a long
time. Right, no, yeah, we didn't even know. And then you're watching it, you're like, who's it going to be? Is it like Kaylee? Is it Judge?
Is it Bill? Like, yeah, I thought for a while it was going to be Bill.
And then it turns out it kind of was. It was like all those guys were like throwing plays in the mix. So that was a disaster. But like from the outside, you're wondering what was going on. I was actually with you. I wasn't as pumped up about Bill O'Brien as some were. And then Alex Van Pelt, how could you possibly be? Nice guy, friend of the show and all that, but he's been in the league a long time. He's been asked to call plays once. So at least I'd say right now, even though I know I was bringing up some of the stats and I was talking about Sam Bradford, I'm more optimistic about the offense today than I have been any of the last 5 years.
Well, whose hire do you think it was?
I think it was Kraft.
Me too. And I'm sorry to jump in, no, but I think the more we see the coaching staff filled out, and I heard Scheim say this today, it's Terrell Williams, who Vrabel had an experience with in Tennessee and was in Detroit last year. He's the defensive coordinator. That's reported today. Patriots haven't confirmed it, but I think you can see the writing on the wall for that. Tony Dews, Jets running back, worked with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Oh, Jets backs were good last year.
They actually were.
No, they weren't.
Breece Hall had a bad year, but when they brought in some of those other, they were good.
They didn't run for crap.
Okay, but those backs, he brought along two young backs, I thought, last year. You didn't like their running backs?
No.
This is an argument I didn't see coming. I actually like that running back room last year.
Running backs.
All right. Anywho, he is retaining Jeremy Springer.
That's a Wolf guy.
Elliot Wolf is still here. So maybe it's not batting 1,000, but I think we'll see as the coaching staff gets filled out. The guy who sticks out like a sore thumb is McDaniels.
Yeah, I wonder because Vrabel had all year to, in his head, and maybe even like with real conversations, put together his staff. He knew he was going to be a head coach in the NFL again. Maybe he even knew it was the Patriots. But he knew one of these openings was probably going to come calling. And what was his ideal staff? When he was in Tennessee, he had to hire 3 different offensive coordinators?
I think 4.
Oh, 4. Yeah, because when he first got there, he got LaFleur.
Smith.
Then Smith left.
Kelly and somebody else in there. There was a 4th one.
So in 6 years, you know, and those guys got other jobs. I mean, LaFleur took over the Packers. And
Todd Downing.
Yeah, so he's done this a few times, and he has gone with guys that hadn't had that role before, right? So he's willing to sort of think outside the box, not bring in a retread or anything like that. So he's done this before, and he has a lot of connections. I mean, his time in Tennessee, his time in Houston, a few years in Ohio State, for God's sake. So he has a lot of connections around the league. So I'd love to know who his ideal candidate was or who his top pick was. Was that guy available? Did that guy say no? Does he have another job? Did Robert Kraft veto it? Like, how did that all shake out? Because I thought
We think we know? Wasn't it Reese who's staying in Cleveland? I think that was Vrabel's top pick.
All right.
I think I'd take McDaniels over him,
so
if I'm being honest.
Yeah. So would I. So, but sometimes this can be one of those things where maybe Robert Kraft was like, hey, I really like McDaniels. And Vrabel's like, yeah, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it wasn't his first choice all along. Maybe Reese takes that job, and then he's looking at the other list of candidates, and he's like,
We could do worse.
I agree with you.
Keeps my boss happy.
Yeah. I'm not going to fight you over this, and I think this could work.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my spots. I'm not going to fight you over this.
Yeah.
I'm already fighting over Elliot Wolf and my guy.
True.
Ryan Cowden.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't need another fight. Mike is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Wow.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty
my original
how
question
are you doing?
Was... I'm doing great. I'm stressed out about the Patriots this year. So.
Understood.
So, yeah, I was at the last game. They actually won, but I was like, yay. Somebody gave us free tickets. I went in my Santa Claus suit. So, anyway. My question was, I was thinking, like, he had Cam Newton, right, Josh McDaniels, but he didn't really develop. And with Charlie Wise there, he really kind of developed Brady, not Josh McDaniels. So I wonder how much of Brady was his own audibles and changing up the plays on the field as it's like kind of an on-field offensive coordinator. And Josh has not really had a lot of experience with a mobile quarterback.
Well, the Cam year, there were rumors that he wanted Lamar, but actual experience with a mobile quarterback? True.
No, Kyle Orton, not mobile.
He drafted
Garoppolo,
Tebow.
Not mobile.
He drafted Tebow, didn't really play him. Tebow was mobile.
No.
But he didn't really play him while he was there. When it comes to Brady.
I mean, I do give him some credit for it. He was the play caller for some great offenses. And he had the greatest. He had the greatest player of all time, but
he didn't. Sam Bradford, Brady. Brady didn't regress under McDaniels, so I guess there's some credit there. But like Brady's development, I give none to McDaniels. I barely even give any to Belichick. Never mind McDaniels.
Since he got a Tom Brady, but Tom Brady does love McDaniels.
He does.
Yeah. And they worked together for so long.
Aaron Rodgers loved, who's the stiff who got the Broncos job for a year that he brought back to
Nathaniel
the Jets?
Hackett.
Thank you. I mean, like, just because they like these guys doesn't mean squat.
No, it doesn't mean that they're great. But there's just a tremendous amount of success there where I can't ignore it. I mean, more than half of his NFL career was with Tom Brady. So I'm not going to, like, throw it all away. But, yeah, Tom Brady gets the vast majority of the credit.
617-779-7937. You guys can jump in on Josh McDaniels. You like the hire? Do you not like the hire? Whose hire was it? And what does McDaniels need in his offense? I think the slot receiver will be making a big comeback here in New England. So we'll get to that. And let's grade the Patriots offseason to this point. Effectively grade the coaching staff, the front office higher to this point. Elliot Wolf staying on. How would you grade the Patriots offseason? We'll do that coming up next.